Such a joy to be sharing today. And come on, give me a wave. Who's like a mega Christmas fan? Anyone in the house? You love Christmas and you're excited. Come on, you can see the presents are coming out, the trees. Anyone yet to do their tree? Anyone a bit of a latecomer? That's okay. That's okay. You'll get there. Maybe this afternoon. I actually got a photo. So for those who don't know, my wife and I, we have a 1.5-year-old. And this time last year was our son's first Christmas. I think a photo is going to come up behind us. Now, fellas, anyone else, their wife, love you getting matching Christmas pajamas? Or am I the only one? And that was our precious first Christmas last year with our son in the matching PJs. They probably don't fit me anymore, but anyway. And do you know what? It was so peaceful last year. Our son was 6 months old. Any parent probably can remember that he would just sit by the tree. It was so chill. And of course, 12 months later this Christmas, we have an 18-month-old. And as anyone who's a parent of a toddler can understand, it is no longer as relaxing. Putting up the tree was chaotic and so much fun. And we've already got broken baubles and glass everywhere from the tree. And it's definitely a different season. But we love every season doing it as a family. Well, guys, I'm wondering here, have you ever lost something and did not know how to find it? Have you ever lost something? I know, like, I'm someone who loses something at least once a week. Like, my wife just rolls her eyes as I've said, "Where are the keys? I've lost the keys." Anyone married to someone like that? Just me? Wow, okay. Everyone throwing me under the bus here. Well, I've got a story to tell you where the one time probably in the 15 years I've known my wife, it was her who lost something. And this was all the way back when I was about 18 years old. I was yet to hit puberty, so I probably talked a bit like this. And I was 18 and Ebony and I were not dating. We were not married. Obviously, that'd be a bit weird. We're pretty young. We were just really good friends. But secretly, I was madly in love with her. We were actually in our church in Queensland. We were serving at a school and we served this day together, just blessing children and just being a blessing to the school. And we had about 20 young people. We ran like a program. And then at the team debriefed. And I remember because I really liked this girl called Ebony, I was very aware and attuned and always listening to her and trying to find my way in to do something romantic, you know what I'm saying? And I just see her playing with her ear or something. And I'm like, "What's going on?" And she just kind of shrugged it off. But she's like, "Oh, I've lost my earring." And I was like, "Oh, was it important? Like, is it expensive?" And she kind of wasn't telling me the full truth, but I could tell that it actually meant a lot to her. And I was later to find out, I didn't know, it was actually an earring that one of her grandparents had given her. And as I said, isn't it funny the things like you will do for love, right? Anyone remember when you were first dating someone or trying to win someone over? Crazy things you would do, right? And so we went back to church. I worked the rest of the day and it just wouldn't stop. I was like, maybe this is my moment to get her to fall in love with me. And so I called the school and I'm like, "Can I go back into this room? I promise I'm not a creep. I just want to, my friend's lost something, okay? And can I come back after all the children have left?" And they said yes. And so I get to this room. It's like 4:30 p.m. I'm exhausted and I'm looking and I under furniture and under this. And I looked for about 30 minutes and I could not find it. And people who lose things regularly like me have a prayer they pray all the time. It's called the find it prayer. Anyone relate to that? Like, "Father, I've lost something. Can you help me find it?" Similar to going to Eastland in December, the car park prayer. Come on, we got unfair favor as Christians. How good is it? I pray that prayer. The car park opens. I go in front of someone and they yell at me and abuse me. But it was God blessing me. It doesn't work when they come out and attack me. Anyway, I'm just joking. But I prayed the find it prayer. And this thought comes to me. Maybe someone mistook it from rubbish and put it in the bin. And I'm like, all right, like, do I really like her that much? Okay, I'm like, it's going through my mind. I'm like weighing up and, you know, obviously now I'm grateful I made the decision. But I'm like, I'm going to go through the bin. So I'm hoping the bin's like not very full. I get to the bin. It is disgusting. I'm talking like filled to the brim to overflowing. And I learned a very important lesson that day, how disgusting children are. Okay, I can't believe I had one after this experience, because I'm going like on my hands and knees through this rubbish bin, and the things I saw, the smells I smelled, they still haunt me. I'm a little dramatic, as you can tell, but I'm going through another 30 minutes, bit by bit. And I'm talking like I get a banana peel and I'm peeling the banana peel. Like, is it in there? And I'm looking through chip packets. And I'm now an hour into this, okay? And I'm like, I gotta keep looking. It means a lot to her. And I kid you not, okay? I got about 4 bits of rubbish left out of the 150 I've just pulled out. And here it is. I literally went under a chip racket and there is an earring. I found the earring for Ebony. Yeah, I should get a clap for that. It was disgusting. And do you want to know the worst part? I thought I was very romantic and I wrote this little card. I'm like, oh, it's so bad. I just don't even want to say it. Do you promise you won't judge me? Promise? I'm like, oh, so bad. I think it actually like deterred her rather than, I said, you may lose many things in this life, but you'll never lose me. And I gave her that. So bad. But it worked. We're married all these years later. And so bad, but she got her earring back. Do you still have them or have you lost them again? Oh, someone stole it. Oh, God bless them. All right. That's sad. That was a sad ending to a positive story. But it can be so painful when you have something go missing, right? Ash knows what I'm talking about, and you do not know where it is. Christmas means a lot to me personally, and as you would have heard through a lot of Christmas carols, and the message I'm about to share is we're going to unpack the reason for the season. And the Christmas story means a lot to me because in the person who was born, his name was Jesus, as you heard Ebony say earlier. When I found Jesus, I found everything I'd been searching for my entire life. And I'd love to share a bit more about that. So I'm going to unpack a few thoughts around Christmas. I'd love to look a bit deeper into it because it's so much more than just presents and ham and cricket and time off work. And all of these things are absolutely wonderful. But underneath it all, it is the celebration of the birth of the Savior of all mankind. The Savior of you and the Savior of me, and his name is Jesus. And I'd love to look into the Bible right now. If you don't know what the Bible is, it's writings and many 66 books in this thing called the Bible. And what's amazing about where I'm about to read is from a man named Isaiah. And what's incredible is Isaiah was actually alive 700 to 730 years before Jesus was actually born. It's amazing. So 700 BC, let's read this together. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This is what we call a prophecy or a promise. And he wrote, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign." Can I pause there? If you've been looking for a sign, if God is real, let me unpack this scripture. It is a sign to all of us here today that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel. And then it goes on 2 chapters later, Isaiah chapter 9, it says, "For to us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, I don't know about you, this blows my mind because 700 years before Jesus even was born, we receive this glorious promise. We receive this prophecy that to us a son will be given through a virgin birth, and his name will be called Emmanuel. Ebony shared this earlier, but that literally means, translated, "with us is God." God with us. The miracle of Christmas is God coming near to you and me, not remaining distant or being far. So what is Christmas truly all about? As I said, maybe this is your first time ever in a church. Maybe a family member or someone invited you along. And I love what Will said when he first came. Like, it was so weird. Like, why are people with their hands up? And it's okay if you think we're weird. I felt the same when I first came. But I would like to unpack a little bit of the Christmas story. So we're going to explore it together. But ultimately, Christmas represents that God sent his one and only Son from heaven to earth, and his name is Jesus. He was fully God and fully man. It's all right. Hello. Giving us a dance this morning. And through his birth and his death, thank you, Kate, you can help. Kate knows it. He made a way for us to be forgiven and to be in a relationship with the God who created us. See, Christmas isn't just about a birth. It's about the arrival of a Savior who would die and rise again. Worship team. Hey, we'll give her a hand. Isn't she doing well? Thank you. She's born to be on the worship team. I love that. So guys, I'm going to look at the Christmas story from the Bible, and we're going to start in Matthew chapter 1, and I'd love to read for you some of this and pull out some of the key points of Christmas. So if we read from verse 18, this is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. You can read along behind me. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I know that sounds a little bit weird, but isn't it amazing that we see here what was prophesied 700 years ago, we see happening now 700 years later? This is part of the Christmas story. It was a supernatural conception, and she was a virgin. He was fully God, yet fully man. It goes on to say that Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. He was a good man, the Bible says. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. That is awesome. And warned him and said to him, Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Everyone, I want you to listen to this next verse. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. This is absolutely amazing because it shows us before Jesus was ever born what his mission was. Why did God send his only son? Why did Jesus come and live a life on this earth for 33 years? Well, it tells us here to save his people. He is the savior of all mankind. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet, that the virgin would conceive a child, she will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. This is the most amazing moment in all of history of the earth, where God fulfilled this glorious promise that one day he would give us a son. It was in fact his only son, and that he would come to this earth and save us from our sins. We then read in Luke chapter 2, verse 4 to 6, and because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled from the village of Nazareth, where he was from. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. Now, I have a pregnant wife right now, and what I find amazing is Joseph took his pregnant wife on a 120-kilometer journey without the blessing of a car. What a brave man. I don't know if I'd do that. All right. But he did it. And they go. And while they were there, it says in verse 6, it came time for her baby to be born. Good timing. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. I know Ebony referred to this, but isn't this incredible if you think about it? that Jesus himself, literally known as the King of all, the King of the universe, when he came to this earth, he was born as a man, as you and I were. He's fully human and fully man, and he came in the most humble way. He wasn't born into a palace and demanding anything. He actually came into this world in a lowly place, in a humble place, in a manger. Yeah. And lastly, I know so many carols about the shepherds. What's that all about? Well, it goes on from verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. I love how the Bible's so honest and clear, but who knows if you're just out one night with your sheep and next minute a fiery, blazing angel rocks up, you'd be a little bit frightened, right? Like, I get it, shepherds. That's PTSD. That's trauma. But it goes on, but the angel reassured them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." Can I press pause here today and say that the entire message of the Bible, from the beginning to the end, the entire message of Christmas and of Jesus Christ, it is called the gospel, and the gospel means good news. It is not bad news. It's not so we would feel ashamed or bad or wrong. It is good news. Here today, you are hearing the good news that Jesus came to die on a cross for your sin and for my sin, which I'll go on to say. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. You might go, why are Christians so happy? We have joy on the inside because of Jesus. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you'll recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth in a manger. And suddenly the angel was joined with a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, and they were praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest." We were just singing Gloria. I am not even going to try to sing it like Ebony or Ashton. You don't want to hear that. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to which with whom God is pleased." The angels returned, and they went and visited the baby. This is just a summarized moment of this precious Christmas story. And it points us to so many amazing moments of the virgin supernatural conception, to God himself being sent to earth, who was born to live a life in our place. Heaven announced him as king and praised, and ultimately that it is good news for you and I here today. So as I finish this, and in a moment we're going to go and celebrate and have so much fun, I'd love to land this message with one short question for us, which is, so what does this all mean for us here today? You know, is this just some story that happened thousands of years ago, or does this actually mean something here today? And I honestly believe, as I shared earlier, it signifies the most powerful moment in human history. And it is just as relevant this morning for you and for me as it was when it happened over 2,000 years ago. It represents the Savior of the world, the Savior of all mankind, coming to this earth. He lived so that he could die. He actually didn't come just to be born. It was so significant, but the mission was always clear. God always knew what would have to happen. Jesus lived a perfect life, and ultimately it led him over 30 years later to be hung on a cross. That's what we talk about at Easter, how Jesus hung on the cross for you and for me. But I would love to ask each of us a question here this morning. And I ask, if you do one thing for me, I want you to ask your own heart and be very honest with yourself. We've been talking about the Savior of all mankind and humanity. I'd love us all to reflect this morning and have an honest moment and ask, is he my Savior? Because there's a difference between what he did and us entering into a relationship with him. Has he gone from the Savior of the world to your personal Savior? And this is the good news of Christmas and of the gospel, is that salvation is available for you and I. This free gift that God freely gave is available for you and I as we connect with Jesus Christ. This story is not just about a birth. It's about a life that was lived, the arrival of a Savior who would then go on to die in your place and in my place because of what we call sin. And you might ask me here today, why on earth would God send his only Son? Why on earth would Jesus die a brutal death on a cross? And can I tell you, now that I'm a dad myself, this story means even more. I would rather die 100 times over than sending my son to die for something. You might ask me why. Can I tell you the answer is so simple? It's a 4-letter word, and it is love. It's because God so loved the world. Because God so loved you and me. God's love is so powerful that he sent his son to die out of his love for us. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse 6, this is Jesus talking, and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me." Jesus himself is the way, Jesus himself is the truth, and Jesus himself is the life. Through Jesus, we can come to God, the God who created you and I. The Bible says before we were even formed in our mother's womb, before your mother even knew she had conceived you, God already knew you. He knit you together in your mother's womb. And from the moment he created you, his heart burned with love for you individually. And it was that love that drove him to send his son. And it was that love why Jesus willingly went to that cross. Why? So that you and I can come to God. What does that mean? It means because of something the Bible calls sin, it separated us from God. We are all born with our backs turned to God, living life our own way. The Bible calls it sin. And sin as a consequence, it's separation from God and death. But when Jesus hung on that cross, with a nail through both of his leg bones and one through each of his wrists. And he died. He died and he paid the price for your sin and my sin. And now he makes this bold statement that I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now there is a way to go to the Father. For you and I to be in a relationship with the God who created us because of what Jesus did. You might remember I started this message asking about that feeling when you know something's missing. It can be so painful to know there's something missing and not know the answer of where it is or what it is. That was my story. And I'd love to invite our band up as I just finish this message. But can I tell you quickly, I grew up in a church. I was very blessed to grow up in a church just like this. A great Christian family. But at the age of about 13, I walked away from God. I started to live life my own way. I turned my back on God, turned my back on church, and started to live life completely my own way. Can I tell you that for me, life got darker and darker. 13, 14, 15, 16. By the age of 17, I was such a broken, broken young man. I was in the worst place I've ever been in my life. And I knew on the inside there was something missing. I was empty. Maybe you can relate to this this morning. I was broken. I was so sad all the time and struggled with depression. I felt so hopeless about my future. It's like there was a cloud around my life and I could not see a brighter day. And I just felt so ashamed of the person I had become. I had no hope. And I felt this emptiness, like something was missing. And you know what I did? I did what the world tells us to do, right? I started drinking and going to parties and getting absolutely hammered, hoping that would make me find the purpose of life. But I'd wake up the next day just as empty. I'd try to find it in relationships. And I started dating and trying to just get other people and relationships to fill that hole in my heart. But it never did. I tried to get really successful and be the most popular person and be great at sport and succeed and be ambitious. But every time I'd hit a goal or do something amazing, I'd wake up the next day and that emptiness was still there. Nothing I tried could fill what was missing on the inside of my heart until the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I remember it like it was yesterday. It was 14 years ago. I'm sitting in my room and the presence of God just was in my room, just like you can sense here this morning. You heard me say before, I was in a dark place. I was in such a dark place this night. And I remember thinking about just going all into such a self-harming, suicidal way of life of drugs. And I had friends going down that path into very hardcore lifestyles. And I just was so tempted to take that step and just go, I don't care about my life anymore. And on a night, I said to God, I will never forget it. I gave him one chance. And maybe that's you here this morning. But I said to him, God, if you're real, I need you to show me tonight because I hate my life and I'm about to go down this road of destruction. And for the first time in about 6 years, I prayed and I put some worship music on and I turned to him. And do you know what? I said a prayer inviting Jesus into my life. A prayer saying sorry, a prayer of accepting this gift of salvation, which we're talking about, that Jesus, you died for me. And I got to tell you, friend, I hadn't cried in a long time, but his love hit my heart that night. I wept like a baby for about 3 hours, all throughout the middle of the night. And I gave my life to Jesus. And can I tell you, that Sunday I found myself in a church called C3 Powerhouse. My life, honestly, this is my story, it took a 180 degree turn. I went from sadness and depression to finding joy, from hopelessness to finding a sense of purpose, from guilt and shame and hating myself to embracing a fresh start and the forgiveness of all the mistakes I had made. But the greatest thing, friend, see, I was searching for something on the inside. I knew there was more to life, but I couldn't find it in the world. But that day when I gave my life to Jesus, he filled that hole in my heart. And I can tell you without a shadow of lying or doubt, 14 years later, I've never felt empty again because of Jesus Christ. Because of what he did for me on that cross. And ultimately, what we're celebrating today, because of him coming to this earth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So this morning, I'm going to give everyone in this room an opportunity to say the same prayer I prayed 14 years ago. In a moment, I'm just going to get us all to close our eyes and I'm going to lead us all in this prayer. But I would love to give you the opportunity. It would be the privilege of my life to lead you into a relationship with Jesus. So if you're here and you're saying, you know what, Dan, God isn't my savior. I don't have a relationship with him. But here today, you just feel something drawing you to begin a relationship with God. And you will just know in your heart, I really believe, friend, that today is your day. And in a moment, I'm going to get us all to close our eyes because this isn't a moment between you and people, me and people. It's a moment between us and God personally to connect with Jesus himself. So if we can all just close our eyes just for a few more moments, then I'll finish. But I'd love to ask, is that you here this morning? Would you like to begin a relationship with God or rededicate your life with him? There's just two kinds of people I'd love to pray with. And in a moment, if they resonate, not right now, I just want you to raise your hand and say, you know what, Dan, that is me. The first one is maybe you're here and you've never connected with God. You've never had a relationship with him. Maybe you're searching and there is something missing and something about this morning, you just know this is your next step. Just like Will did 4 months ago and Kylie a few decades ago to give your life to Jesus. In a moment, if that's you, I'd love you to just to simply raise your hand. That's all you have to do and put it back down and I'll lead us in a prayer. Secondly, maybe your story's like me. Maybe you were once in a relationship with God. You may have grown up in church, but for whatever reason, you find yourself far from him this morning. Today is your day to come home. And if that's you and you'd like to rededicate your life to God in a moment, can you raise your hand too, just in your seat? So every eye is closed. I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. But if you're one of those two groups of people and you'd like this morning to receive the gift of salvation, to be forgiven of your sins and begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, right now, wherever you are, can you just simply raise your hand just say, Dan, that's me. Wherever you are, I know there'll be many people. Thank you. I see your hand there. Thank you. I see your hand there. That's wonderful. Is there anyone else here this morning? Your heart will be beating. Thank you. I see your hand here up the front. That's wonderful. Is there anyone else here today? You'll just know that this is your moment. Your heart will be beating. This is your day to connect with God, friend. And can I tell you, this will change your life forever as it did mine. I know there's more people in this room. I'm not going to drag this out. But can I tell you, friend, God loves you so much. He loves you so desperately, so deeply. And all he wants this morning is a relationship with you. All he asks, you and I cannot earn it. We cannot deserve it. We don't get to heaven by being a good person or by coming to church. All he asks is that we would take a step to him. And that is what this moment is. So one last time, I know there's a few more people. If that's you, can you be really bold and just right now, raise your hand. Say, Dan, that's me. You don't need to fight it any longer. If you know in your heart, today is your day to give your life to Jesus. Whoever that is, just respond. I'll just wait 30 more seconds. Wonderful. That's so cool. I can see your hand. That's incredible. I just sense there's one more person. It's like God's asking me to wait just for you. If you just are wrestling on the inside and you know it's you, I feel like there's been some pain in your heart. And it's like your heart has turned hard because of the pains of this life and people have betrayed you and let you down. But I just see God asking, just soften your heart to him and he will bring healing. If that's you, if you're struggling right now from pain, can you just raise your hand? Just one last person. Who's that person? Okay. Thank you. I see both of your hands. God bless you. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Guys, I'm going to lead us all in a prayer. And I ask that everyone says it after me, but particularly, we had about 5 people raise their hand. Maybe you're sitting there and you wanted to, but you didn't. I just want you simply to mean every word from your heart to God. Let's say nice and loud after me. Let's help each other out. Say, Dear God, I thank you that you sent your one and only Son to die on a cross for me and my sin. Today, I say sorry. I turn from my sin. I open my heart. I invite you in. I declare with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, forgives me, saves me. I give you my life in Jesus' name. Father, I just pray for every precious person, your son and your daughters, Father, who responded this morning, or those who did in their heart. Lord God, I ask that you would just be so close to them. And even now as I'm praying, your love would fill them. Your glorious promise of Jesus Christ would become so real with them, they would never doubt you and your existence for the rest of their days. Lord, help them find a great church and bless them abundantly in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, can we give the biggest hand of the day to anyone who responded here this morning? That's amazing. We're so proud of you. You'll never forget this day. As you heard me say, I've never forgotten it. And I just hope today was an encouraging message for all of us. And my encouragement is as we celebrate Christmas, let's take a moment to just to say thank you to God for what he did.